And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey, everybody. Civilized Barking, Zach Jackson here. Divisional round of the playoffs. Yes, it's January 14th, and we're not talking about a coaching search. We're not talking about hiring coordinators or a general manager or searching for a quarterback. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns getting ready to play their 18th game of the year. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns at the high point of the new era. And yes, the bar is low. They've won 12 games. They ended the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. They just ended their season. Let's not get too far ahead. But that was complete and total domination. We know the Steelers faced difficult decisions, some financial issues, and father time. And if they thought tackling Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb was tough, well, father time is undefeated. It's on to Kansas City, and, you know, the Browns have earned the right to sit here and say they can beat anybody. They score. They show up prepared, right? The offense is varied. The offensive line is great. The running back's great. The quarterback playing at an extremely high level. First of all, if you turn somebody over four or five times, you're going to win. But sometimes in sports, in pro sports specifically, you get in the tournament and the hot team wins. So nobody's ruling the Browns out. That being said, the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs. The Chiefs are damn good. They got Patrick Mahomes. They throw deep to Tyreek Hill. You start to take that away, they throw to Travis Kelce. Mahomes can make any throw from any arm angle at any time. He can extend plays with his feet. He throws sidearm. He throws backhand. He pump fakes. He lets it rip. Andy Reid is one of the great play callers and great coaches. So what do? You hope they're rusty, which considering it's been 3 weeks since a lot of their regulars played, maybe they are. They were certainly not dominant. They have not won a game by more than a touchdown since the Jets on November 1st. They don't run the ball real well. Their starters played 15 games, guys. They were 14-1. They lost in week 5. They won otherwise. Super Bowl hangover didn't exist. And I know it's been a strange year on a lot of fronts. And you could include the Browns winning 12 games in on that. But they still got really good players. Defense seems susceptible, you know, the run defense specifically, the 31st DVOA run defense. You know, the fact is they play high-scoring games because of how they're built. The offense is built stronger than the defense. They have some guys, Chris Jones comes to mind, Tyrann Mathieu in the back. You know, they give up yards and points. They're not out of a game. Last year in the divisional playoffs, they trailed 24-0. They won 51-31. They scored so many points that the stadium ran out of fireworks. That's a true story. You know, this year they're averaging 30 points a game. They're averaging 6.3 yards a play. All of those things. Everybody knows about the Chiefs. They're on TV all the time. The Browns go back there next year. It'll probably be on TV, you know, Sunday or Monday night, especially if this game is played in the 60s or 70s like it ought to be. And gosh, you know, the total opened at 54. I saw 57 yesterday. It sure seems like an over. What do the Browns got to do to win? Well, they got to score. Time of possession, nice, yes. Turnover battle, probably mandatory. But it's not like you can sit on it, right? You got to score. A winning score for the Browns is 40 points. Can you win 41-38? 42-35, I think you have to. You know, going back to the last four Browns games against playoff teams, the Ravens, the Titans, and the two Steelers games, you know, the Browns are averaging 40 points a game. They're giving up 35. They're giving up 400-some yards, and the Chiefs get 400 in their sleep. Matter of fact, they got it 6 games in a row starting in mid-November or late November, and a streak that technically ended when they only got 395. So we'll see. Here's what we're going to do. My counterpart in Kansas City, who's covered the Chiefs for a long time, his name is Nate Taylor. We're going to bring him in. We're going to get some insight on the Chiefs breakdown. You know, what their worries are. Have they been flat? Will they flip the switch? What do we expect to see? You know, just kind of talk about the game. Before we get there, though, I just, you know, kind of wanted to spitball. And I just want to say I'm happy for you guys, obviously, you know, that have waited. Specifically, obviously, those of you who have listened and who have read and who have interacted. It's been a magical season, and the only thing that's been missing has been that the fans can be there. And, you know, I'm happy for the fans, for the season ticket holders, for the diehards, for the tweeters. You know, I'm happy for Jim Donovan, an all-time good guy, along with Doug Deacon. They've called a lot of bad games, you know. Just happy for the city. And this is a likable team. This is a fun team. The offensive line, coach with brains, and organization that seems to be put together. The Browns just haven't had those things. The other day I wrote a story about Michael Dunn, the unlikely hero, guy that played in the XFL a year ago. And filled in last week. He got hurt, but he filled in admirably for Joel Bitonio. Frankly, you know, from a journalism dork standpoint, those are the stories we just haven't been able to write here that all my counterparts across the league have been able to write about the unlikely hero who comes in and plays in a big game and comes out of nowhere and does well and performs and earns the praise of his teammates and his coaches, because it's just been – there haven't been many heroes, right? There haven't been many huge wins. That was huge, and the Browns earned it. So, again, on one hand, you give them every chance in the world, and you have the good vibes and you have the momentum, whatever you believe in that, and I do. On the other hand, Ben Roethlisberger couldn't be bothered, guys, to pick up a fumble on the first play of the game. The Steelers wanted put out of their misery. The Browns did it. So that's a huge landmark win. What's left to accomplish? Well, when you're here, you got a shot. Can you keep up with the Chiefs? I think so. Can you keep up with the Chiefs for four quarters? I don't know. We'll find out Sunday. I got a message last night from a fan who said he had listened to the podcast three times, the after-game podcast that Jason and I did. So shout to him and to all of you guys. Enjoy it. 3 o'clock Sunday. It'll be fun. It'll be wild. Last week's game was quick for a while, and then it went long. This one will go long again. I really think that the Browns will score 30 points. I still think they might lose by double digits. So going to be a shootout. I don't know why I said last week's game was quick. I was confusing it with week 17. I'm not used to this playoff stuff, guys. Bear with me. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. Subscribe to The Athletic if you haven't. Subscribe to the podcast. Download, share, leave review. All of that stuff. We'll be back with another one Sunday night / Monday morning, and we'll see where it goes from there. Let's dial in Nate Taylor from Kansas City. All right, Nate is on the line now. Nate, the Browns, hot team, dangerous team. Last week won a playoff game with their head coach at home watching, with Joel Bitonio and Denzel Ward, two of their best players on the COVID list. The Chiefs have been watching Netflix for a couple weeks. So, gut reaction to how it starts on Sunday.
I'm really happy for Cleveland Browns fans. I am wildly impressed with Stefanski and his coaching staff. Baker Mayfield didn't really make any mistakes in the wild card game. Like I really like this matchup because it has so much potential, Zach, for a shootout. I like playoff games that have a lot of back and forth nature to them. And so I feel like this is something where, you know, we hope to have an exciting game for four quarters. The Chiefs have been watching Netflix. They've also been trying their best to get ready for an opponent that they really didn't know really up until, again, late Sunday night last week. And they haven't played the Browns in 2 years, essentially. So right. A lot of the characters are somewhat similar, but there's obviously some change involved. I think the Chiefs have worked all year for this moment, and the playoffs were pretty much a formality. And that's interesting for me, too, given how hard and how much work the Browns have done to get to this point.
Yeah. So 9 guys from the Browns started that game 2 years ago, 2 years and 2 months ago. So completely different schemes, different staff.
Yep.
Only nine players who will be in the starting lineup this week. And that's assuming everybody gets back and gets healthy, which we can't assume anything. The Browns are going to score, Nate. There's no doubt in my mind. But can they hold the Chiefs under a reasonable number?
That is, I mean, I've always said for about a year now, all the things that it takes to sort of make the Chiefs uncomfortable. And that's not even like whether you win or not, just making the Chiefs offense uncomfortable. I feel like the baseline, and I've said this from about October on, is whoever the Chiefs face in the playoffs, that opponent needs to score 31 points. So for the Browns, the baseline is, I believe, 31 points based on what Mahomes' history is in the playoffs, how creative Andy Reid is, and the fact that the Chiefs hold plays back for the postseason. Like, they have pretty much said that the last couple of years, that they will run things in the Super Bowl or against a team that they have not faced before, where they will put something obviously on tape and then obviously go against that or put something completely new that you can't necessarily prepare for. So in terms of what the Chiefs present, in having the fastest player in the league in Tyreek Hill, having the best tight end in Travis Kelce, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, depending on what you prefer, it's going to cause, I think, the Browns to still have to be true to themselves in terms of just how talented Kareem Hunt is, how wildly successful Nick Chubb is, particularly running between the tackles. But I think a lot of this comes down to efficiency in the red zone on third down for Baker Mayfield. And if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm telling him, Zach, just that there's no tomorrow. Just be ultra aggressive at certain points, whether that's fourth and short, whether that's a fake punt. Do things unconventionally that force the Chiefs to be a little bit uncomfortable, but could also be a rallying point for your group to see if they can raise their level, given that they're obviously going against the defending champions. They're going to need to play really well. The Chiefs could have a little bit of a rust because of their rest. Last year, they were down 24-0 to the Houston Texans. The problem is, how long can you withstand the Chiefs before they have this sort of Warriors-like run where they score touchdowns in a series of possessions over and over again? So I'm really fascinated by what the offensive game plan is for the Browns, because you're going to learn, I think, in the first two series, just where they want to attack, whether that's in the middle of the field, given the Chiefs aren't great at the linebacker position, and if they are capable of taking an occasional deep shot just to keep Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, honest in not putting, you know, 8 guys in the box to try to stop the run on first and second down.
Yeah, we know those Browns backs are gifted, and they drive everything. And really, in recent weeks, the threat of the run and the actual run have opened things up in the past that hadn't been there. The Chiefs get run on, Nate. Everyone knows that. But last year, they really tightened in the postseason. They went from giving up 130 to everybody in the regular season to really tightening in the postseason. Every game is different. Every team is different. You know, is the Chiefs' run defense up for the challenge and ready to meet this moment on Sunday?
Here's a nice thing for Cleveland Browns fans. This year is different in both regards, I believe. Derrick Henry was on an unprecedented run before the AFC Championship game. And it was only a matter of time statistically before he started to go back to, like, you know, not being a superhero. So the Chiefs got a benefit there. They got a lead, and they were able to sort of squeeze Derrick Henry out of the second half of the game. Last year, the Houston Texans didn't have a great running attack. And so all the Chiefs had to do were be pretty successful, or at least competent, against the 49ers in the Super Bowl. The difference is the Browns have 2 running backs, obviously, and that is against what even the 49ers presented in some regards last year. And so I think in that way, the Browns have an advantage because they know they can rely on 2 running backs, and their offensive line, despite the shuffling, has been pretty successful group so far, to where I think it should give the Browns some confidence that they can have a couple really nice highlights running the football to again, keep Baker Mayfield on schedule. The difference for the Chiefs defense this year is Mike Pinnell was signed in the middle of the season. He was a true, like, low-key hero in the middle as a defensive tackle. He has not played as well this year. Derek Nnadi's okay. He was a third round pick. He seems to be someone that, you know, is going to be on the field quite a bit based on the personnel packages. And look, they had Reggie Ragland last year. He was mostly known for his run stuffing ability. He went to free agency to the Detroit Lions. Willie Gay, who I believe is the Chiefs' best linebacker, he may not play because he had a high ankle sprain in the Week 17 matchup because Andy Reid had to play somebody against the Chargers. And unfortunately, he had to play the rookie, one, to get him reps for the postseason, but just unfortunately, he had an injury. He did not practice on Wednesday. So we'll see where he is on the injury report as we get closer to kickoff. And I get the sense that Anthony Hitchens is like a lot of athletes who are coming off the COVID list, and he may not be 100% as well. So the middle of the Chiefs defense could be compromised to some degree, or could be, you know, a weakness that the Browns exploit. And again, like you mentioned, Zach, as soon as you start having success running the football, those linebackers have to come up. And I'm a little bit concerned about Austin Hooper and who's going to cover him, because if you force Tyrann Mathieu, the Chiefs' best defensive player, to be on him, that could open up some things for Landry in the middle of the field. And obviously, Baker Mayfield has shown an ability to be accurate on those intermediate to deeper routes over the last month or so. That's really impressed me because, like you mentioned, everything is sort of centered around, if the defense knows they have to respect the run, it creates a lot of openings, whether it's zone or man coverage, for Mayfield to have these completions that keep the chains moving and are really effective in the red zone.
Yeah, and that's kind of who Austin Hooper is. He's not going to run by anybody, Nate, but he's a big target. And 31 targets in 3 weeks. So they're getting to him, even when it's not against Kansas City, who seems vulnerable there.
I would say feed him as much as you can on Sunday. The Chiefs, look, I know he's not Darren Waller, but as you mentioned, the size element does give Chiefs some concerns, just because Darren Waller had two really, really good games for the Las Vegas Raiders against the Chiefs. And again, the Chiefs, when they've had their starters on the field, have only lost one time this year, and that was to the Raiders, in part because Josh Jacobs had a really good day, so you had to respect him. Darren Waller controlled the middle of the field, and that gave Derek Carr opportunities to throw the ball deep and really give the Chiefs some struggles, because you could attack all three levels, and that's what the Browns are going to have to do. And so I think Hooper is a really talented player given his skill set, and it could be to the Browns' benefit against the Chiefs.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, so you mentioned the COVID thing. The Browns brought several guys off the list last week. They kind of eased a couple of them in. Ronnie Harrison, who's been one of their more important defensive players, he was a false positive, but he only played 11 snaps. I think maybe the shoulder's still bothering him.
Mm.
But, I mean, Nate, when you look at what the Chiefs can do, you know, it's not just the deep ball, right? It's not just one guy. They attack you in different ways. Denzel Ward is a really good player. Like, he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he's as good as those
He's
guys,
super good, right? Yes.
And it's not like anyone runs with Tyreek anyway over four quarters. But you've got to think that right away, given the fact that he's missed two games, given the fact that slot corner Kevin Johnson has missed two games with COVID, you've got to think that right away, specifically in the case of Ward, because teams just don't test him normally, smart teams don't anyway. You got to think the Browns are, or the Chiefs are going to be willing to try him right away and make him run some deep routes.
Yeah. And it's one of the rare things where, look, the Chiefs attacked Jalen Ramsey back in the day. So, like, it's anybody can be had, they feel like, on their side. And what I would tell Browns fans is Tyreek Hill is going to have a highlight. Just acknowledge it. and move on. The problem occurs when he has 2, 3, 4 highlights, like deep passes, or he has this short pass that he turns into a large game because somebody misses a tackle. And something that I thought the Steelers didn't do last week, because it's not really in their playbook much, that is in the Chiefs playbook that could cause some issues, is they like to run a lot of jet sweep action, you know, and they could do that with both Mecole Hardman, who's the second fastest player on the team, and obviously Tyreek Hill. So you don't want a jet sweep to become a 7-yard gain and all of a sudden it becomes a 30-yard gain. I think for Denzel Ward, one, you just hope to see him out there because, again, he's really talented. And I know some teams in the past have said, well, it's unfair to ask a cornerback, even someone who is as talented as Ward, to put him in a one-on-one matchup with just a single high safety. If the Browns do that on Sunday, they will get burned, no matter who the cornerback is, just because what ends up happening is Mahomes recognizes the coverage. And even if he doesn't throw the ball deep to Tyreek Hill, it uses the intermediate field available for Travis Kelce, who's one of the more shifty, smooth route runners in this league. I would tell the Browns to play 2 deep high and hope that Tyreek Hill just has 1 highlight instead of 3 or 4, because whenever that happens, the Chiefs win about 90% of the time, just because Mahomes is so accurate on his deep balls. I know that doesn't get talked about a ton, but when Mahomes knows that the shot is there, he usually connects in a way that most quarterbacks don't.
Yeah, our listeners and our readers, Nate, know that I'm not biased. I'm not right all the time. Keep it real. I'm not going to favor the Browns. But I would tell you this if you're a Browns fan. Like, the Browns can score 30. The Browns can win this game. Mm-hmm. Another thing that can happen is Tyreek Hill could set records in this game.
I mean, He did have 200 receiving yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first quarter in November earlier this year. It can happen. I would advise them to, again, now here again, here's was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers problem. They dared Mahomes to throw deep with a single high safety. And to this day, I don't know why they did that. And Tyreek Hill pretty much said that after the game when he had, again, over 200 receiving yards. It's not so much about what the corner does against Tyreek Hill. It's the whole secondary working together to, one, locate him, understand the possible route combinations, and then being in the picture is what I like to say. You know, if the ball's in the air, you know Tyreek's faster than you, but you hope that your angle, your hips, your technique is sound so that you can make a play if it is a 50-50 ball, because Mahomes is obviously not afraid to do that with Hill in the area. So he could set records, but I do think the Browns are more than capable of having this be a really fun game. We just watched the game last week, Zach, where, you know, the Indianapolis Colts kind of outplayed the Buffalo Bills, even though they lost. And a lot of it, again, I think a lot of it is the Browns can potentially outplay the Chiefs based on rust, based on, you know, timing, based on the idea that they have, you know, a really smart coaching staff and clearly players all over the roster who can really give you some positive results. It's what you do on fourth down, in my opinion. It's what you do in the red zone and not having turnovers. Baker Mayfield cannot turn the football over, whether that's a strip sack with Chris Jones and Frank Clark coming off the edge, or whether that's giving Tyrann Mathieu the ability to read his eyes and know where the football is going to go before he releases it. If the Browns can do that, I think this is going to be a memorable playoff game.
Yeah, I agree. You know, why did the Colts lose that game? Because they didn't execute in the red zone. Because they weren't sure what they were doing on third and short and fourth and short, right? Yeah, Browns fans, just hedge your bets. Just play Tyreek Hill on your DraftKings team, right? And then root for your team. They will score, Nate. I think their mentality has to be, with few exceptions, right? We're not playing against the clock. We're not playing against a situation. Like, we have to get to 40 points, right? So then, if we're there in the last 8 minutes or 5 minutes or a minute and a half, obviously that changes. But the Browns from the very first drive have to say to themselves, we have to get to 40 points.
I agree. If there is one game that I could point Browns fans to from the regular season, from the Chiefs perspective, it's honestly the game against the Carolina Panthers. It's my favorite game of the season, Zach. You want to know why? Because the Carolina Panthers went to Arrowhead Stadium and knew they were an underdog, knew they had no shot of winning conventionally, and they threw the whole kitchen sink at the Chiefs. And it was fascinating. So just a quick summary of what Matt Rhule, first-time head coach as well, did was, you know, Christian McCaffrey had come back from injury, so he was productive. Teddy Bridgewater was efficient, 310 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. So there's a blueprint for Baker Mayfield. It can be done. And I just love that Matt Rhule was like, fake punt, onside kick. We're going to go for it on fourth down. They were 3-for-3 on fourth down conversions. And they had a chance to win the game. They had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal. Now, albeit it was a 67-yard attempt as time was expiring, but they were in position to win the game at the end of the game because the Panthers knew the moment they walked in the door what was necessary. And I hope for Cleveland Brown fans, you hope your coaching staff, your players understand the magnitude and the situation of the opponent that they're facing. Clearly, the Chiefs are the defending champions. They should be favored for all the reasons we mentioned earlier. But look, the Chiefs almost lost to the Carolina Panthers. They won 33-31. But if you're a Browns fan, I think you take it if you're in the 30s and you have a chance to win the game on a field goal as time is expiring, whether that's, you know, to end the regulation or send it into overtime, because the Chiefs are probably going to score 30. But do it the way the Carolina Panthers did, which, again, is my favorite game of the season, is the Panthers just being like, why would we punt the ball to Patrick Mahomes when we could just go for it on fourth down? Like, there is no tomorrow, Cleveland. Just go for it in a way that you know you left it all out there instead of trying to be conventional and then, you know, having the same result that so many teams have had this year, because the Chiefs are 14-1 with Patrick Mahomes at the helm. And I just feel like for Baker Mayfield, you can have a similar performance of Teddy Bridgewater, and Kevin Stefanski can do very similar things that Matt Rhule did and have perhaps even more success.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So two things, Nate, and I think they're linked. Just based on what the Browns have done, they have played cover three, cover four. They will sit their safeties back. So, you know, I want to know, you know, how the Chiefs will attack that. I think I do, because we all know who number 87 is. Right? And then the other thing, I know the Chiefs have had some offensive line struggles. The Browns are really good. The Browns are good when their defensive line is good. And the Browns need Myles Garrett to have a big game. So, you know, just how do the Chiefs attack that? And do they expect to have their linemen back this week?
I would say the Chiefs will attack, you know, deeper coverage with Travis Kelce. I think Sammy Watkins is an important element. He did not practice on Wednesday. He's dealing with the calf injury. If he does not go, that could create some issues, because that could give the Browns, you know, more capabilities to double team Travis Kelce without feeling that they're compromised completely somewhere else with a capable player like Sammy Watkins. Clyde Edwards-Helaire should play. He hasn't played since the team won against the Saints back in December. He's dealing with a hip and ankle injury. So the Chiefs may want to test, you know, if they're in light boxes from the Browns' perspective, they may want to test that and see where Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in the first quarter in terms of how he is running the football. The offensive line, if the Chiefs will falter, will be the biggest issue. Could there be a turnover? Yes. Could there be a dropped pass or a mistake from a skill position player? Well, of course. I mean, these are one-game sample sizes in the playoffs, but everybody in Kansas City is nervous because Mitchell Schwartz, the Chiefs' best lineman, who Brown fans know very well, he will not play Sunday. He has not played since week six because of a back injury that he's been dealing with. You know, a lot of this game comes down to Mike Remmers. I assume, as Mike Remmers is the backup to Mitchell Schwartz, that Myles Garrett will be in one-on-one matchups with him. The Chiefs, I will say this, like to dare opponents because they feel like if we have four receivers out, we don't need a tight end chipping. We don't need a running back chipping to help a dominant defensive end. They got away with it against, you know, Nick Bosa in the Super Bowl. They've gotten away with it a couple times against Joey Bosa, a divisional opponent with the Chargers. So Austin Ryder, who Browns fans know, been kind of up and down this year. Andrew Wiley has been, you know, struggling a bit in the guard position. Stefan Zwanuski re-signed to the team late. Perhaps he could be in the starting lineup to provide some level of consistency and strength in the middle. But there's a case to be made that maybe the Browns should blitz a hair tick more than they want to, because the Chiefs offensive line has struggled over the last month with blitzes in terms of, even if Mahomes has the right protection, they don't hold up, you know, the way you would like them to for those, you know, 2 seconds that Mahomes needs to see what's going on with the rest of the defense. And if Myles Garrett does have a true, you know, game wrecker effect on the Chiefs, it'll obviously force them to change their game plan, because the Chiefs clearly want to go down the field, but you need, you know, 3 seconds or more to do that. The Chiefs' offensive line has holes, and it's up to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to sort of figure out how they can get around them.
All right, last thing, Nate. You mentioned the jet sweeps, and you mentioned Edwards-Helaire. So, like, what is the plan? Because they don't really need to run, right? You need to.
Right.
But they don't, and they don't need to. So, like, how do they balance that, and what do you expect to see from that regard on Sunday? Because I see Le'Veon Bell as a shell of his former self. Right. I just do.
Yeah.
And I just see, like, yes, you want to run, and yes, you want to attack certain things you've seen on the film all week, but really then you just give Patrick the ball and let him create.
Yeah, exactly. Interestingly enough, I think there might be times in the middle of the field where the Chiefs may be in sort of these run formation looks where it's 2 tight ends, maybe 2 wide receivers. The problem is it may be play action, double route for Tyreek Hill or double move. And the Browns have to be leery of that. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, is going to get, you know, roughly, if he's, you know, as healthy as the Chiefs hope, he's going to get somewhere between 8 to 12 touches. Look for Le'Veon Bell in short yardage situations, and particularly at the goal line. He's had slightly more success because he's a little bit of a bigger back than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Look, the Chiefs pass the ball a lot on first down. And the Browns should be comfortable if the Chiefs actually hand the ball to Edwards-Helaire early, because they just want to see where he is from a physicality standpoint. I get the sense that the Chiefs always use the run to just keep teams honest, but there are a few times where the Chiefs will recognize something that they've run previously in the game that will give them the edge on the perimeter. And that's where the jet sweeps come into play. That's where the double motion, okay, now who's coming in motion, who's going there, some of the tricky sort of gimmicky plays that sort of work, because obviously Mahomes is wildly accurate and has, you know, a lot of mobility to him. But there's a time or two, I believe, where the Browns can look at the situation and understand that this is not a conventional running play, but the Chiefs can get away with it because you're so focused on controlling the deep part of the field that all of a sudden somebody is running with, you know, an offensive lineman in space, or there's some double screen going on. Look, they've ran screen plays for Travis Kelce, and those are essentially running plays in the Chiefs playbook. So they're going to run in a creative way that's different than most teams. But for the Browns, a lot of it is rallying to the football and making sure you make the tackle. So much of playoff games, Zach, and we know this really well, is it's these matchups. You design them all week. You've coached your guys. And if somebody misses a tackle, it could be doom. So for the Browns, a lot of this is keep things in front of you, make the Chiefs work down the field, have them go 12, 14 play drives, and just see if the champs are capable of doing it at a consistent level. And if they're not, you force them to punt, you know, you force them to kick field goals, and maybe you make them pay on the other side of the ball by scoring touchdowns instead. So the Chiefs will run the ball about 15 to 18 times, but about half of those will look differently than what you would see on most NFL teams.
All right, you got to pick one here. Will they come out flat because they've had the layoff, because they know that they'll hit their stride eventually? Or will they be pissed off about last year's bad habit of the slow starts, and will they just come out and be sharp?
Yeah. On offense, I can't see them having another slow start the way they did against the Houston Texans. Mahomes has made it a point this week in every comment that he's had that they're going to be ultra aggressive and that they want to get going sooner rather than later. So I would say the Chiefs offense, I have more confidence in them starting off fast. The Chiefs defense is where it gets a little bit more interesting, just because those guys have had the same amount of layoff, and defense is obviously reactionary to a large degree. And I'm not sure how Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, how he wants to attack the Browns offense. So I would say that we could have a shootout from the jump, just because I'm not sure what the Chiefs defense will do and how they'll counteract things, and if they'll be ready to go in a way that, you know, the Chiefs offense was the issue last year. This year, it could be the Chiefs defense starting in the first quarter would be my evaluation.
Right. Well, it's going to be fun. No doubt. 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Arrowhead Stadium. What is it, 16,000 fans, Nate?
16,000 fans. They will try to replicate the sounds of usually 77 to 80,000.
Yeah, it's such a special place when it's full. The Browns have been hot starters. Stefanski scripts have been great.
They have.
You know, and I think, you know, what carries over week to week, not everything, but the quarterback's been locked in, the running backs are fresh, and the line is dominant. So I think the Browns are going to score 30. We'll see how many the Chiefs get. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reading. Thank you, Nate Taylor, for joining us. This is Civilized Barking. Join us again Sunday night/Monday morning. Talk to you then.